Hey friends, we all know that this time of year can be a little extra busy. The days are shorter, but we always have so much to do to fit into 24 hours. So power through your busy days with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. From breakfast to dinner and anything in between, Factor has easy, nutritious options to keep you fueled and feeling your best. Whether you like routine or enjoy mixing things up, Factor has you covered with 35 different delicious meals every week and over 60 additional convenience options you can add to your box, like keto cookies, pressed juices, and smoothies. Don't let these shorter days slow you down. Stay energized with America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service. I love Factor so much because it lets you do you. Choose from six menu preferences to help you manage calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or simply eat well-balanced. Because Factor's meals are chef-prepared and dietitian-approved, you're going to love not only how Factor's meals taste, but also how they support your goals. So head to factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50 and use code barbknowsbest50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next month. That's barbknowsbest50 at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
I think for me, it comes down to respecting myself enough that my life matters more than putting up with this.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, your co-host, and I am sitting here with my mom, Barb, and we're so excited to be chatting with you all this week again about life and its most interesting and complicated topics. Hello, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How's it going?
It's going well.
You were looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning.
I'm excited.
We're recording in the morning, which is
my favorite.
Your time to shine. Less so for me, but we're going to power through.
You're looking pretty bright yourself.
I feel good.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to be with you as always and with all of our listeners again.
Me
this
too.
Week.
For another great conversation.
Yeah. So this week we wanted to revisit a topic that we have discussed on the show pretty early on in the show, but it still is our top episode, I think, our most listened episode, which signaled to us that it's a topic that you all want to hear about. And it's a topic that, of course, has many layers. And we felt it was time to dive into it a little more.
And as always, I've had a lot of people make comments on social media and DM me, given the times that we're living in right now, that they would wish they had listened to the episode before, because you're right, that was probably, what, now 2 years ago, maybe? One of our very first, I know that,
pretty
probably
early
in the first year. And they wanted to hear more. And we'll take another, as you said, everything is layered. And we'll take another little approach to it that I think is pretty up for a lot of people today. So I'm excited, as always.
Yippee.
Here we go.
All right. Times are tough out there. We've talked about this on the show in episodes of recent past. There's a lot of complicated dynamics personally, professionally, socially, societally, and it's challenging to just make sense of it all. And one of the dynamics that we want to talk about today that I think, to your point, Mom, is really up for people and is really a trigger maybe for people right now is disrespect and how we manage disrespect. And what we really wanted to talk about today is how to know when you've had enough. When you've had enough to actually say something, do something when managing disrespect. Because obviously, we're all human beings with complicated emotions and personalities. And so sometimes people will say things or do things that are harmful to us or, you know, hurt our feelings. And maybe it isn't always intentional. And sometimes you have to just, you know, let things roll off your back. But how do you determine when you get to the point of like, no, this is gone too far, or I need to do something about this situation, or I need to set a boundary here, or maybe even to the nth degree of like cutting this person out or removing the situation from my life? How do you have the discernment to know what you will tolerate and what kind of, I guess, aspects of disrespect you can manage and just accept as part of life? And then on the other end of the spectrum, when it's too much.
It's so true, Michelle. And that's why I love it that we talk about all these life's most important topics and difficult ones as being layered, because there are a lot of layers to this idea of disrespect, because life is hard enough already with all the things that it's throwing at us when we get out of bed and say, thank you for the gift of this new day, and then walk outside. And one of them is disrespect. So much, it is so layered in the idea of all the external world of traffic or people slamming the door in our face, or, you know, people cutting us in line, or all of those kinds of things are forms of disrespect. And it's annoying. If we're not able to just, this too shall pass, and just let it go and just say, okay, this person must be in our minds. Just say, this person must be having a bad day. Let me keep moving on, and not let those kinds of disrespects throughout our day ruin our day or really affect our day. And I love what we're going to talk about today. Like, when is enough enough? And there's so many, I think, red flags for when enough is enough, because one of them for me is when enough is enough is when
you're just going to go right into the
we're going to do our usual, but I was just thinking when you were talking that for me, I know very clearly for me that when it starts affecting my energy and my mood, and when I can't let go of it, or when I'm stewing about it while I'm still trying to do my work, or I'm trying to be one pointed with you when we're trying to do other work in our day, that's a problem. It's really interesting to notice that and start to become aware. As we say, awareness is key, but also what can we do about it? And that, like, this is really an issue when we can't, when it actually hijacks, you know, our joy or hijacks our day. So I am looking forward to this conversation because I think it is up. I had an incident recently where I was going into a doctor's appointment and a guy just came barreling out the door and almost knocked me down. And he saw me and all of that. And as he was walking by, you know, I thought, oh my gosh, I said, you know, thank you, sorry, or something like that. And it was an interesting situation that I'm glad that we're talking about this today. It was an interesting situation. He saw me and did all that and almost knocked me down as I was walking in. But then he turned around right away and he said, oh my gosh, ma'am, I am so sorry. I was not paying attention. I did see you. I am so sorry. I never do these kinds of things. I'm so sorry. And I remember thinking to myself, I felt a little bit bad that I'd even said anything to him, like, you know, thank you, basically, or sorry that I forgot exactly the words I said because it was so abrupt, but he definitely wasn't in the moment paying attention, which made me aware that, wow, that's probably what most of the people in the external world like that, not the close, you know, friends and relationships and family and all that we're going to talk about today, but usually in the outside world, I think a lot of it is people aren't paying attention and they're only thinking about what they need to do, and he needed to get through the door. He wasn't even in a hurry, he said. So yeah, it's very interesting. So I'm looking forward to this conversation.
It's a perfect example of that it's not personal in that instance, you know, with the man, you know, he was probably in a, you know, didn't even probably see you.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Or whatever.
And not to let it hijack the day. I think that's the crucial thing for me in this episode this week is not, how can we not let what other people are doing, you know, we've done episodes on not taking things personally, but then how can we not let it affect us? How can we just say, you know, that, oh, this is about them, not me, and I'm not going to let it, even though it feels rude or even though it feels obnoxious or annoying or whatever the feeling is that we're getting in the moment.
Yeah. And I think when we think about respect and understanding why it's so important to seek to hold mutual respect for people in our world and society. Like as I was kind of contemplating the concept of respect, it really feels to me like having a baseline sense or feeling of respect for all is really how we can coexist with one another. You know, it's not like we respect, for me at least, and you can speak to a mom, isn't that we're putting, you know, people up on pedestals or, you know, it's not anything special as far as emotions that we're harboring for other people. But when I think of respect, it's just that baseline humanity of like, I deserve to be here. You deserve to be here. And I am present and cognizant to that fact. And so I will be allowing and accepting of your existence as well as mine. You know, it's just more or less like that widespread like acceptance of humanity. Like, we're all here, we're all human beings, and we all matter. And it's like, I see you, you see me. And, you know, then the layers of it, we're doing the best we can. Sometimes we'll do things that, you know, hurt our feelings, but it's not personal, et cetera, et cetera. And so for me, when I experience disrespect, it's like a signal of that person not recognizing like my worthiness or taking my humanity or my time or my presence for granted or wasting it.
And I think that's very true, Michelle. And you have so many levels of disrespect, like we're talking about. And I think that's absolutely true. And then you have the one where people just aren't paying attention and they feel like their needs need to get met right in this moment. And they're not just paying attention. They're not like this man, he genuinely felt bad. And then I felt bad that I even said anything for that split second, but he genuinely felt bad. And I think that's kind of the energy that's in our lives today. The real, I think, is kind of destructive for our own energies and our own lives, presence of not paying attention, that we're just so focused on what we need and what we want and getting there right now because we don't want to be late or we're in a hurry or we don't want to be left behind, that we literally are not even considering the other because we are just so forging ahead to take care of ourselves in the moment. So,
and it goes back to that conversation we had a few weeks ago about with entitlement too.
Yeah.
People feel entitled to different lived experiences and their actions will speak to that.
And we think we have to be that way. I mean, we really think that life will be against us and we'll fall behind if we just don't, you know, forge ahead. And you know, we are so distracted. So, but today talking about really there's so many aspects of it, but today really talking about when we're in relationships with friends, when we're in relationships with family, when we're in relationship with coworkers. I think we all know about, you know, being disrespectful and when people in retail or service industries and stuff like that, we all have that in restaurants, all the things, that kind of disrespect, I think for me falls into the category of, you know, entitlement, like you said, and we've got to have what we want when we want it, not paying attention, being only focused on our needs and not others. But I think the layer that I'm looking forward to talking about that I get so many comments about is, what do I do when I'm just constantly being disrespected by a coworker or a boss? What do I do when I'm being disrespected by a family member mm-hmm. who doesn't respect my needs or my boundaries or my wishes? And what do I do when I get disrespected by partners or kids? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's really the crux of what takes us down in life when we're around people that are not respecting us, not caring about how we're feeling about things and just really kind of disregarding it.
Yeah. And of course, disrespect is a spectrum and there's layers and, you know, it can look like condescending behavior, ignoring boundaries that are already set, manipulation, gaslighting, so many of the topics that we've talked about already on the show, passive aggressive actions and behaviors.
Minimizing feelings. That's a big one for me.
Yeah.
That my feelings don't matter. They don't count or they're, oh, you're too sensitive.
Or being manipulative with your feelings.
Yeah.
And sometimes these, you know, those examples can kind of, they're tricky. Like it's kind of just beneath the surface. Sometimes it's not exactly overtly disrespectful, but you have that hit in your stomach. Like, wait, that interaction really didn't feel right, but I can't quite figure out why. Like, I don't feel good leaving this interaction, or reading that email doesn't sit well with me. Like, what is this? And I feel like it's that kind of disrespect where it's a little bit beneath the surface. It's not super in your face, that can build up and build up over time, where one time you're like, okay, that person might be having a bad day or is stressed out about something. But when it keeps happening and you keep feeling like you are not being seen and heard as a human, what do we do?
Exactly.
So what do we do?
So what do we do? I think you just laid it out beautifully, understanding what disrespect is and knowing when we're feeling disrespected with all the different levels of disrespect. And as I think one of my biggest one is not acknowledging or allowing me to have my own feelings. And it doesn't mean that I want you to have my feelings or even to understand them. I just want you to respect that they're mine. I don't want to be told that I'm being too sensitive. I don't want to be told that, you know, you always feel that way. When are you going to get over that? I've always feel this way and I'm not getting over it because you haven't changed your behavior. And I think that's the crux of disrespect for me, when enough is enough. When you do speak up or when you do say something, look, that just hurt my feelings. Please don't say that anymore. Or whatever it is that we're feeling and happening in the moment. And the behavior doesn't change. And I think that's the real deep disrespect that I am looking forward to diving into, because then when is enough enough? Mm-hmm. And when do we actually say, wait a minute, I'm being drained by this. Because if I'm disrespected in that way, when someone tells me I'm being too sensitive, or when someone tells me you've been feeling like that for a long time, when are you going to get over it? You know, I had that in my marriage. I've had that in family relationships. I've had that in, you know, you didn't do what I wanted you to do, so I'm going to ghost you, in some family relationships. And it's just, I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, I don't understand. But then when we have a conversation about it, it's so not even acknowledged. I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what I said. Well, you're the problem. Why mm-hmm. are you feeling this way all the time? When are you going to change? Mm-hmm. And it causes such anxiety. It starts to affect my mental health. It starts to affect my emotional health. Causes anxiety, frustration. I start second guessing myself in the beginning of that kind of a disrespectful interchange, especially with family members. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Maybe let me look at myself. Maybe I am being too sensitive. And that's just not okay. Mm-hmm. We are allowed to be sensitive. We are allowed to feel our feelings. We don't need to constantly second guess ourselves in situations like that. And the strain that it does on our own personal lives and trying to do our business in life and be happy and be successful and all the things we're looking for, I think is huge. And then for me, it actually, in my marriage and my family, sibling family relationship, it actually started to take a toll on my physical health. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it about, you know, what is it about the disrespect now that's causing me to have stomach issues?
Yeah.
Or what is it about the disrespect that's literally, I can't stop thinking about it and I'm still trying to do my work, mm-hmm. or I'm still trying to have fun watching a movie or whatever it is. That's, to me, that's the extent of it. And I think why disrespect is so huge in our lives. It literally hijacks our lives.
Yeah. And as you were talking, I was thinking of when is enough enough with disrespect? And you kind of hit right on it just now, is that when disrespectful interactions in your life, when you take them out of the present moment, like, and when they're living with you past the disrespectful situation and then impacting your mood or giving you anxiety or preemptive anxiety or, you know, affecting your health. You know, like with the guy that you were talking about earlier that, you know, ran into you in the doorway and wasn't paying attention. Yeah, you noticed it and you told us the story just now and, you know, told me when it happened, but I don't think on a deep level that interaction is weighing heavy on you now. It happened. You're like, that was kind of messed up. And then I said something and clearly he had no idea and I'm moving on. But when I think about the repetitive kind of chronic disrespect where it's almost like you're bracing yourself for interactions from these people, or you are agonizing about it even when you're not with them, or overanalyzing past interactions to try and figure out, you know, like so many of us people pleasers, you know, what did I do wrong in that situation? What could I have done better? That's where I feel like, for me at least, and I think for you too, since we're so close and see so much of each other's lives, that's where it's like, I think the biggest red flag that, okay, something's not right. You shouldn't have to be agonizing or struggling about a relationship when you're not present in that relationship. Like I used to think sometimes, we've talked about this with holidays and stuff, before going into big family holiday moments, like I could sense the energy with you and with me of like, oh my gosh, okay, we're going into a situation. How do I prepare? Because I know it's going to be tough. And that's kind of sad. And so I think those are some of the red flags of like, are you kind of putting yourself on guard when you're going to interact with people because you're almost expecting the disrespect or expecting to feel emotionally not seen and heard? It's like when you're not even with that person and that person's energy or presence or behavior sticks with you and it doesn't lift you up. It's not like, oh, I feel so loved by that person, but it's the pit in your stomach or it's the agonizing or it's the fear or anxiety. Like to me, that's the red flag of like, okay, this doesn't work. This isn't okay.
And I think what the real issue is, we have to identify the problem and then now we need to focus more on the solution. What is the solution to all of this? The real issue is it is really darn hard and really difficult having these kinds of conversations with people, especially family members or especially people that are close to us. As you said, with people that aren't very close to us, it's our job just to kind of let it go. But family members and coworkers, it's really hard because in many instances, people don't want to be told that they just disrespected you. I do. I said this to you when we were thinking about doing this topic a week or so ago. I said to you, I was thinking about disrespect. And I said to you, you know, Michelle, I want to talk about a little bit that I have the intention, and I've been this way now for decades. I never intentionally disrespect anyone. Mm-hmm. And I want people to say, if I have said something that has disrespected you or that has somehow offended you, I want to be told. And you know that, and you will tell me that. And people that know me very closely will tell me that. And there are very few people on the planet, but also very few people in our lives, I think, that want to hear that. That's like our close circle of friends that want, where honesty is key. You know, like we want to know, we love each other enough that I don't ever mean to disrespect you. So please tell me if somehow I've said something that is disrespectful. And I think where the issue comes for me, and it took me a long time to get to places of being able to walk away. Or if it's some situation where I actually can't walk away necessarily, be able to set the boundary and be really firm with the boundary and letting the people know I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, but not that. And as you said, we're talking about family situations in that regard. But what's hard though is how can we get to a point of saying I'd rather adjust my life to your absence than adjust my boundaries or my life to accommodate your disrespect? Because that's what we're doing. When we don't speak up or when we're allowing it day after day or year after year or moment after moment, once we've gotten to the place of the breaking point or enough is enough and it's starting to affect our lives, we're accommodating and adjusting our lives to the disrespect. And it eats away at our mental and physical health, I believe, because I am a witness to that and I have experienced that. So how can we do that? Because I think what also happens for me in situations when I've actually said look, this is disrespectful. I would wish that you not speak to me that way anymore because it's hurtful. You know, like calling a name or having a conversation, you know, saying that, you know, pretending that it never happened. You know, that's a form of disrespect. We're trying to resolve a conflict and the other person saying, oh, that never happened. You must be remembering it wrong. You're just, as I said, too sensitive. So, or be staying with people who think you're arguing all the time, every time you express yourself. That I got often in my marriage. So this is why I think this topic is so popular, because it's so hard. Mm-hmm. It is so, so, so hard. So I think for me, it comes down to respecting myself enough that my life matters more than putting up with this and figuring out, okay, what can I do? Can I set a boundary that's strong enough that the person will adhere to it? Can I have a conversation with the person so that I can actually move through it? Not trying to change them necessarily, but at least they can meet me halfway and acknowledge that my feelings are valid, or acknowledge that actually did happen, what I'm talking about and the way that I'm describing it. And maybe there's an I'm sorry with a change behavior after that from the other person. So I think it's key to start looking at where are situations in your life where you have moments like this or you have people like this, and what are some of the conversations that can be had, or what are some of the things that you need? What do you need so that you're not feeling at the mercy of, or a doormat, or that you don't matter, or that your life isn't important enough, or, oh, it's fine, I'll get over it. Oh, I can adjust. I can accommodate this. I can, as I said, you know, I can adjust my life and accommodate your disrespect in this regard. And I don't think that for me, that obviously didn't work. If there finally came to a breaking point where that didn't work, when people were saying, I'm sorry, or I had the impression that maybe I did matter and it got through to them, and then the same behavior kept getting repeated over and over again.
I'm not always known as the best gift giver, and I often feel super overwhelmed and anxious when the holidays come around because I just don't know what the best gift is to get for my friends, family, and loved ones. But this year, that anxiety is not around because I know exactly what to get everyone in my life, and that's AG1. Right now, AG1 is running a special Black Friday offer for all of November. AG1 is a daily health drink packed with nutrients to help alleviate bloating, support sustained energy, and whole body health. I've been using AG1 for years now and has made such a big difference in my life, mentally, physically, emotionally. I know that I'm getting all of the vitamins and nutrients that I need in one easy to drink drink. So this holiday season, try AG1 for yourself or even gift it to someone special. It's the perfect time to focus on supporting your body with an easy and surprisingly delicious daily health drink. And that's why I've been partnering with AG1 for so long. Every week of November, AG1 will be running a special Black Friday offer for a free gift with your first subscription, in addition to the welcome kit with the vitamin D3 K2. So make sure to check out drinkag1.com/barbknowsbest to see what gift you can get this week. That's drinkag1.com/barbknowsbest to start your holiday season off on a healthier note while supplies last. Hey friends, do you ever feel like you're just too busy to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more planning, no more stressing about nutrition, no more shopping. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious, with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week, with dietary options like Mediterranean, vegetarian, carb conscious, and even gluten-free dishes, all featuring organic fresh produce. There are truly options for everyone, plus you don't have to lock in one type of meal plan. Pick and choose what you're in the mood for every single week. They even have pre-made meal options as well that are just as tasty and ready in just 5 minutes or less. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. All you need to do is follow the easy step-by-step recipes, dig in, and enjoy the benefits of eating your best. Go to sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/BarbKnowsBest to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Hey friends, one of the most commonly asked questions that I get on a pretty regular basis is about my skincare and makeup routine, which is funny because I've never considered myself to be super savvy about skincare and makeup until recently, where I've been really getting into my groove of knowing what products are good for me and what is worth my hard-earned dollar. Since 2019, Anissa Beauty has been leading the way in creating vegan and cruelty-free makeup and skincare brushes that are safe for your skin and the planet. I've been learning so much about the importance of the brushes that apply the product are just as important as the product themselves, which is why I've been loving using Anissa Beauty's Pinnacle Foundation Brush as part of my daily routine. The Pinnacle Foundation Brush is the gateway into Anissa Beauty because it makes you realize a brush is more important than the makeup or skincare product itself. It's the perfect addition to my makeup collection because this brush truly does it all. And the Anissa Beauty Pinnacle Foundation Brush is the game changer in my routine, and you guys have to try it out because it's going to be a game changer for you too. Anissa Beauty's brushes deliver value and quality like no other. So check out the Pinnacle Foundation Brush as well as several other amazing brushes at anissabeauty.com and get 30% off site-wide with code BarbKnowsBest. That's A-N-I-S-A-Beauty.com.
Yeah. Well, it's a spectrum, and it's unique to all of us of when is enough enough and what are the signs of when is enough enough. And I think for sure, emotional exhaustion, especially after interactions with those specific people that, you know, we're fielding disrespect from, or we know that that's likely a dynamic that we're going to experience. Like if you're constantly feeling drained after interactions with specific people, that's a red flag. Like the same thing that we were talking about before. If the interaction happened and then it's 5 hours later and you're still agonizing about it, or you're still feeling mentally recovering from it, or you're even physically, having reactions to that situation, that's a red flag. If you feel resentment building for that person or that situation, that causes you to dread future interactions. Again, like we talked about, we've had that with family. I've had that with work and with friends. It's not just the people that we see in our lives day in and day out, like our close inner circle. But if you start to resent and have that fear, not even fear, but just like that dread of, oh, I have to go see this person, I have to go interact with this person. Even like, and the, impetus of this conversation and having it again was something that happened for me work related. And I got an email from someone who I was working with, and I was so frustrated, and you were with me, Mom. And you were like, why are you still dealing with this person? This is so disrespectful. They don't care about your business. They don't care about how they're showing up for you. Why are you still dealing with this person? And it was at that point where when I saw their name pop up in my inbox, or when I had to go send them an email, I felt so much dread and frustration even before anything even really happened. So that's a big red flag for me as well. And then of course, self-doubt. Is this a situation that's causing you to question yourself? Like you said, Mom, is this a dynamic or relationship that has gaslighting tendencies where you're leaving a situation questioning your reality, your memory, your ability to discern what actually happened and what was real? Those kinds of people, places, and circumstances where you don't even know what end is up and you can't make sense of it are not worth our precious time and energy.
Well, exactly, Michelle. And it also, you're walking on eggshells. And I think we don't want to live that way. We want to walk on eggshells. And the example that you were talking about with work, I remember this. It was a couple of years ago when we were
collaborating with some partners. And I think it's really difficult when I think it's really difficult. We're talking about this. All of this is really difficult. But as we start to think about what are some of the solutions now, we kind of know. I think we've really expressed all of the experiences that how disrespect can show up in life and what it toll it takes with the self-doubt, resentment, emotional exhaustion, you know, our self-worth, thinking that we matter, thinking that we're good enough, thinking that we have a right, you know, to our feelings and to express ourselves in a way that is making sense and can actually help us get what we need and help others. And I think that for me, the idea of being able to identify for myself what's happening. And I think what you just expressed, the idea of self-worth and emotional exhaustion, the resentment, all the self-doubt, the gaslighting, all of the things, the idea that it's now we're anxious and we're frustrating and we're carrying it around and we're walking on eggshells and we're starting to get headaches or feeling fatigue, all those things. So I've experienced all of those things. Those are all signs that something has to happen in a relationship. Something has to happen, whether it's a collaboration with a whole partnership or whether it's one person or whether it's family member or whatever it is, that's when enough is enough. When you start seeing some of those things showing up in your daily life. And I think the key for me was when it starts affecting my own sense of self-worth, that I matter, well, maybe there is something wrong with me because maybe I am too sensitive, starting to question who I am and what makes me who I am and what makes me me in a way that's not harmful to other people. We're not talking that any behaviors that have to be changed as a result of some of our disrespect for others and ourselves. We're talking about just things that this is who we are and it's not harmful. It's just something that's about who we are. So I would love to now talk about what are some of the solutions? What are some ways that we can start to identify these behaviors that are happening and how can we start to make small? You know, some maybe need to be large, but just little by little changes that start to give us back our own trust and self-worth in ourselves and help us start to relieve some of the symptoms that we've been talking about.
Yeah, I think when you have those breaking points of clarity of like, okay, I can't put up with this anymore. I can't tolerate this kind of behavior anymore. I can't deal with these kinds of interactions anymore. The signs to take a step. And it's not easy to manage these kinds of difficult interactions and situations. And it's not black and white. It's not, you know, one day I have this person in my life and the next day I'm cutting them out. Sometimes it's not that simple. And even in the situation I was just talking about with, you know, a work thing, I had the clarity after receiving so many disappointing and disrespectful emails from this person, but I'm still currently interacting with them or engaged in business with them until I complete this current project or situation. So I have the clarity that I'm done, but you know, I know that I need to, like, I'm going to have to stick it out a little longer to finish what is started.
I love that you brought that up because you're right. It can't sometimes just end on a dime or it can't just like turn the corner and there we are. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're in an abusive, really difficult situation, but you're right. I love that you said that sometimes, but I think that's enough of a relief for me.
No, the clarity of like, yes. When I'm done, I will end this and I'll go my separate ways and this dynamic will not impact me anymore. Or I won't have to engage with it on a regular basis. The clarity of being done sometimes is that first step towards relief because you know that you're not going to tolerate it anymore. You know that you're at your wit's end and you know that you're going to take an action in some way, shape or form. And so, you know, cultivating that mental clarity of, yes, this is no longer meant for me. And therefore I need to do something about it. And then of course the actions that you take can be small, simple boundaries.
I think
guiding you along that way.
Yes. And I think as we look at what boundaries are, the first thing for me was, what are my non-negotiables? And I think everyone that knows me very intimately or very closely knows my number one non-negotiable is you never call me a name. You never call other people names. I am so anti-name calling. That is the biggest red flag in my life, which I know you know that, Michelle. So knowing what are your non-negotiables, that is a non-negotiable. Someone calls me a name, I will instantly say, please don't ever call me a name again. I feel very disrespected. And if someone comes back at me and says, I was just joking, and I will come back and say, it's not a joke. It's very hurtful. And I also don't call other people. It's a very severe thing for me. So understanding what those are, and I think I would go about writing them down. If you're in a situation where you'd be feeling disrespected, like Michelle has just discussed as a collab with a work situation, or if I've discussed with my marriage, if you're in a situation, I'm divorced now. I don't want to be clear on that. If you're in a situation, it's really helpful to start writing down, what are my non-negotiables? What is it that really pushes my button to a point where I can't give in on that?
Well, and how do you want to feel when you're around people? I mean, of course, there's always going to be misunderstandings, or just as human beings, we perceive life through our unique lenses. And so sometimes you might see something completely differently than I might see something, and we might butt heads, but we get to the root of it and we move on. It's not about removing conflict from our lives, but it's how do you want to feel? And for me, disrespect is being able to voice my feelings and emotions to someone else and feeling safe and seen to do so. So if I say to you, hey mom, that you said that, and that really kind of hurt my feelings. I know you probably didn't mean to. Your reaction is usually, wow, I had no idea. I'm so sorry. Of course I didn't mean that, but thanks for telling me. And that's the respect that I crave in my relationships, where I can speak freely, they can speak freely, and we can share our feelings in a safe way where we know that we will see and hear each other. But that's my baseline. And that's what I look for. I think about how I want to feel in my interactions. In business, I'm not expecting, you know, sunshine and flowers and hearts from my business, you know, interactions and emails and things like that. But I expect communication. I expect timeliness. I expect kindness. And when I don't see some of those things, that's where I start to feel like it's not right. And so it's always about feelings for me, using the feelings that I want to feel as the guideposts for then what comes next.
I love this so much, Michelle. I love this so much. So once you've identified the person and identified what boundaries need to be set or what's happening, then it's time to sort out what kind of conversation can I have. And the most important thing that I have done in my life is I always use I. I never go into a conversation saying, you did this to me. You said this to me. I always start with the I. I can't continue this conversation anymore because I'm not comfortable right now with how you're speaking to me. Could we come back to it later? Or I'm not okay if you're calling me a name or putting me down in some way with mean comments. I don't appreciate them even as jokes. They're just not funny for me. Can we move past that and move on to what it is we're here to talk about? This is not working for me right now. Could we find another way? Could we have a compromise? What could work for you in a different way? What works for me? I'm not seeing it this way that you're seeing it, or I don't want to argue about this anymore. Let's just agree to disagree. I think if you enter something like you did this.
No.
But I think that's kind of, we get so exasperated when we get to the enough is enough phase. Or when we've been told that we're too sensitive, or when we're told that our feelings don't matter, or that our needs don't count, we can get to that place of feeling like the other person is doing this to us. And of course, that's valid. But the whole point to start with in a conversation with someone that we're not necessarily willing to walk away from in this moment, because it's not, you know, being very abusive or harmful in any of those extreme situations, we have to find a middle ground. So we have to find a way to sit down and be able to be in a calm environment where we can say, look, you know what, this feels like
I have been feeling this way and I haven't had the words for it, but now I do. Could we really have a conversation about this? Because I really love you, or I love my relationship with you, or I really respect you and I want to make our relationship better. And I'm feeling this, this, or this. I'm feeling whatever it is that I'm feeling. And I just want to be able to share that with you and have you hear me. And then we could talk about maybe ways that we could fix it or ways that we can amend how we're running this relationship and how it's going. And that's I don't know of any other place to start when it's something that you're not willing to just walk straight out of. You know, I've had enough, goodbye. Because for me, it had to start that way. And then if you're in a relationship where that still doesn't work, then it's very interesting about, as I said earlier, removing disrespectful people, you know, that aren't willing to come to the middle with you and talk about why you're feeling disrespected, why you feel very, very hurt and very put upon, and why, you know, why is it that it feels like I'm the problem? Or why is it that you feel like you're pretending like it didn't happen? Or why is it that you're feeling like every time I express myself, you want to argue with me about it? You know, then you got to get to those places, because that is the enough is enough. And I think, you know, I hope this is making sense. I'm looking at your face, Michelle. Is any of it making sense? Because it's so darn hard. It is the hardest thing I think I've ever done. Honestly, the hardest thing I think I've ever done is feeling like a relationship is totally ruining my mental and physical health and I have to do something about it. And I'm in a marriage, or I'm in a partnership, or I'm in a family, it's a family member, or it's a coworker that I just can't work with. It's a friendship, all of those. It's so hard. And
it's hard, but I think the key here of what we want to leave all of the listeners with today is, what are the small steps you can take now to start to relieve that hardness?
Which is what I'm doing right now. Okay, exactly. Which is what I'm doing right now.
Go for it.
But I'm feeling a little worked up, because I just want to say, if you have to walk away, like I walked away from my marriage, walking away from disrespect is brave. You know, it's not, and I felt guilty and I felt sad.
Any act of standing up for yourself and going against the grain of what's normal of every single day and saying, wait, no, this is not okay for me, is brave. It's easy to stay in the comfortable known, but when things happen and we realize that we either have to push aside our feelings or stand up for ourselves, that's brave. It's hard to do that. It's hard to make the changes and say the things that we know might ruffle feathers, but are in our own best interest. And that is the brave thing.
And I think that's why it's important to identify it. That's the very first step. You have to understand and identify it, because once you identify that, wow, I'm being disrespected here, this is really affecting me, you can't unknow it. Once you know it, you can't unknow it. Once you speak it out loud, or once you write it on that piece of paper, then you have to take the steps that I've been talking about and that you and I have been talking about, focusing on, instead of focusing, for me, I'll talk about my marriage again. For me, the focus was always on how I reacted instead of how I was being treated. So it was really difficult to try to sort out, wait a minute, I'm reacting because my feelings are hurt, but there's nothing wrong with my feelings being hurt. I'm allowed to express that feeling. Let's talk about now why my feelings were hurt. But it was so hard to get it to that place, because we were always focusing on my reaction and how inadequate or inappropriate or not okay it was. So yeah, it's interesting, you know, and I think what happened to me too is you start to feel like a victim. You know, if I stay away from people, you know, staying away from people that I felt like the victim in the relationship, but then when I was done with the conversation, they felt like the victim, but they created the problem, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I felt like I need to stay away from people that make me the problem, and now they're the victim and it's poor me. And now I had to figure out, how do I change my behavior?
Yeah. So I think setting boundaries and starting to speak up for yourself when you're being pushed to your limits with disrespect is the first step. and being, letting yourself speak up for yourself. You know, you're allowed to advocate for yourself and for your needs. And I think when you start to set boundaries, it's not easy. People don't like it all the time. People think that it's personal when it's not. But that is the first step, because then when you've had boundaries set with people and they're still being crossed, or still being disrespected, that's really when you can know that it's okay. This is no longer a mutually respectful situation to where I've spoken my feelings and my truth, and this person still does not care to try and make an effort. And I think that's really when you start to examine and contemplate removing that person or situation from your life. But of course, like you've been saying, Mom, it's not easy. And it's an emotional experience. Like, managing disrespect and the emotional tolls that it takes, it's a lot. It's hard. So, you know, be gentle with yourself when you're processing or managing relationships in this way, because it does chip away so much at our mental and emotional health. And also forgive yourself and let go of any self-blame that you might have for, you know, maintaining those relationships.
Well,
you want to say something.
No, you're right. And I think also, you know, give yourself a pass, because a huge pass, that you can't make people take responsibility for their disrespect. You know, often, you know, they're the ones that may be causing the harm. So you can't waste your emotional energy asking other people to validate your feelings. Once you get to this, enough is enough. So now we've moved past, we've tried to sort this out. We've tried to have communication. We've tried to express our needs in a way that, you know, that's with some loving kindness and with some power behind it. But when you get to a point where enough is enough and nothing seems to be working, you can't force someone to take responsibility for their disrespect. You can't waste your emotional energy waiting for them to validate your feelings. And for me, I think what I love, you know, the lack of, we say no is a complete sentence when we're saying not be a people pleaser. You don't have to explain yourself to people. Lack of respect is closure. Lack of honesty can be just the closure. The lack of accountability can be just the closure. We won't always sometimes get everything that we need to explain it, to validate it, to make us feel not guilty, to make us feel like we're doing the right thing, and to make us not feel like we're the problem or whatever it is, because we may not ever get that. Because most of the time when we're in these kind of, you know, end of the line kind of enough is enough, we're not going to get it, because it's gotten to this place where enough is enough because we've tried everything else. And so I think for me, it also is very apparent for me, especially if we've had trauma in our lives from before. I'm certainly a trauma survivor of much trauma in my life as a child and onwards, forward. Or if just being in the relationship, having to deal with the disrespect for a number of years, also represents trauma that we have been enduring. For me, what made me last so long is the trauma, I believe, of my life and the situation made me tolerate people and made me tolerate the situations that were treating me so poorly or so much with disrespect, because I'm afraid of losing them. We kind of get to a point sometimes where, oh my gosh, we can't lose them, then what? And I think what happens when you start the process of looking at what my boundaries could be, what are my non-negotiables, what do I need to be a full human being that I am and so rightfully deserve to be, you start the healing process. You crack the door open to, wait a minute, I don't want to live this way anymore. I need to start taking some steps. And I believe that when you start the healing process, for me anyway, when I said enough was enough, I can't live this way anymore, it's killing me, healing started to make me realize I had lost myself. I was feeling guilty. I was feeling so bad about myself. I was feeling all these ways because I lost myself. So the tables kind of started shifting over this course, where instead of being afraid to lose the person, I started being afraid to lose myself. I desperately wanted myself back. And I think that is where the power starts, or that's where the aha moment comes, or that's when the real, oh my gosh,
I get it now. Let me start to take the, even though they may be baby steps, let me start to take the steps necessary so that I can come back home to myself. You know, there's that saying someone had posted, or maybe it was one of the comments that someone had sent to me, sometimes being alone is the upgrade. You know, we start to realize that maybe it's not so bad to be myself for a while or be alone as I sort this out. And I don't mean alone physically, we have to leave right away or any of that, but just really recognizing that being in this relationship is really harming me. And I need to stop trying to over-explain to people who really don't care to understand. How often do we have to keep doing the same old, same old, same old? And now I'm no longer confusing their disrespect as me being a bad person or me having something wrong with me. You know, and experiencing the abuse we might feel from disrespect is not our fault. Like all the guilt and all the stuff. And I think where I got to a big point with my a family member is that it's okay for relationships to end. I love my family member. I will always love my family member, but it was okay for it to end. And so that's, for me, the process of how do we claim our right as being an extraordinary human being like all of us on the planet are, but somehow we lose ourselves along the way and somehow we allow other people to bring us down and tell us who we are instead of it's our birthright to name who we are.
Yeah, that's the process. Recognizing, noticing, processing, and choosing something different over and over again.
Well, what did Einstein say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again, expecting a different result. I think I learned that in treatment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that idea of, you know, suffering from bulimia, waking up, okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to fix myself and then doing the same old behavior. Well, it follows in everything. If there's not a change in behavior in every situation in our lives that's causing us to suffer or causing us to feel harmed, or causing us to feel that we're not good enough, or causing us to have lack of self-worth, is not change behavior somewhere along the line on our part or on the other person if the harm is being imposed upon us, it's insane. I literally felt insane most of the time during my marriage.
Yeah, and then of course using some of these situations that we've had in the past to teach us what we won't tolerate in the future, you know, to look out for certain dynamics and interactions that aren't in alignment with who we are and how we want to feel, and using, you know, all of our past as building blocks and information and data of what we can move forward with and for the future and for the present. You know, we don't necessarily know what our disrespect threshold is, but through experience and through being present to our feelings in each interaction and really being our own best friend to the point of, hey, that last email from that person, I can't do that anymore. So I really need to honor myself and make a change. That's really, I think, the simplest form of this process. Recognizing when the disrespect is happening. Understanding that you've had enough and that you need to take an action. Having that clarity and feeling that relief from the clarity. And then moving on or setting the boundaries and really caring and nurturing for yourself from the situation over and over and over again in our relationships, moving through the disrespect and, you know, making sure that we're being respectful and showing up in the ways that we would want others to as well.
Beautiful, Michelle. And I would just close my thoughts about this in that also when you're accepting disrespect from people, you're disrespecting yourself. You're really not honoring. I feel like for me, I really, and now I'm so clear, as you said, clarity is so important and it really opens our eyes to everything of what's happening in our lives and what's happening from the inside out. And I really got clear that I was so disrespectful of myself in many ways. And I love Brene Brown on trust and disrespect and all of that. She does a beautiful job in her, I think it's Daring Greatly. you know, she talks about disrespect thrives when empathy is absent, of course, but also she talks a lot about, and I've really thought of this over the years, and I've really chosen this ethos really for me when it comes to disrespect, and that is respecting my own boundaries. You know, by understanding and choosing not to overshare with people who don't have my best interest at heart, I realized I was a big oversharer. You know, I would share my feelings, I would share my thoughts, I would share my expressions, I would share a lot with people that actually hadn't even earned my trust yet. So it's another form of how disrespect can breed when you're oversharing and oversharing and oversharing with people that really don't have your best interest at heart. So I guess the final conclusion of this is our circle can be very small. When I think about my circle today, my circle of
absolutely
friends and my circle of respect and all of the things, you know, I love my walking partners, this path of life and everything. And there are people that have earned my trust and I have earned theirs. And so I think it's really important to, as you said really beautifully, Michelle, to honor yourself and become your own best friend and love yourself completely. And it may not happen overnight, but have that as the intention as you move through life, looking at what do I need to do to live my best life that I came here to live.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm so happy to be here, and I love you all so much. I truly want you to love and accept and respect yourselves completely.
Yeah, so in listening to this conversation, are there any situations or relationships where you're noticing disrespect? And are there any simple boundaries you can set today from gaining that clarity? Just as a little nugget to leave you all with. You know, as we know, awareness is always the first step and it is key. So hopefully we've provided some of that for you all today. And thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Mom, for sharing as always. As always, if you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, so that you're always up to date with each new episode. And if you haven't yet, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave us a review. We're so grateful and we appreciate it so much. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or future podcast topic requests, make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That is the best way to stay in touch. Make sure you're connected with us on Substack via the link in our show notes. And thank you so much again for listening. We'll chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.